from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are rocking with you until noon. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Big salute to Jiffy Lube. At noon, we will hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will hang out with you until 4 o'clock. Little Birdie told me, and by Little Birdie, I mean Facebook, told me that it's Kenny Caraway's birthday today. I hope we get him for the handoff.
I have confirmation that it is his birthday.
I'm going to make fun of him for being old.
Oh.
I'm really excited for it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Last year was a big birthday for him.
Yes, I know. That's why I want to make fun of him.
Yeah, this year is not so much.
The big 6'8 for Kenny Caraway. 68 years old.
68
today.
Years old. that's amazing.
We'll get to that in the handoff. That's coming up in about 45 minutes right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. All right. So there I was yesterday, scrolling Twitter as I am wont to do on a Sunday.
Yes.
Procrastinating on my job. It's fine. And I saw our guy, Kevin Phippen.
All right.
Tweeting about DeMarcus Cousins v. Domantas Sabonis. And I believe it was in response to somebody else who had prompted the question. Basically, would you take prime DeMarcus Cousins or Domantas Sabonis?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is super interesting. Because it feels like two different philosophies of player evaluation coming together.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any question when you look at Sabonis' body of work over and really the last 5 or so years that he's just been a more productive player than DeMarcus.
Yeah, I mean, I would say DeMarcus Cousins, like the ceiling is higher, was right. Always higher.
Right, and I think that's where if you're going to argue for DeMarcus Cousins in this discussion, that's what you're banking on. You're arguing about a version of DeMarcus Cousins that everybody hoped we'd eventually see. He was awesome in Sacramento. I don't want it to come across like he wasn't good.
Yeah.
He was awesome. But there was always this like ceiling that he never quite reached as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think this comes in, because if you're going, y'all take prime Boogie because I think I can get him to that ceiling that he never quite got to, and maybe at that ceiling, yeah, he's better than Domas. But what we've seen on the court, I think it's a tougher argument to make.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, it just depends on how you're like, are you trying to build a sustainable winner? What is it you're trying to do? Like, we always talk about how difficult it's proven out to be to put players around Luka Doncic and have them succeed, right? So I think that there's an aspect of Domantas Sabonis that you put him on the court and it's super simple to put players around him and have those players find success. That's not to take away from those players finding success and say, hey, he only succeeded because he had Domantas Sabonis. But he's a player that when you do drop him in the middle of the floor, he makes everyone around him better, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with DeMarcus, he was a player that had potential to continuously get better for himself and to get better and better and better and you know, hopefully drag some of his teammates along with him as he got better. You know, like prime Boogie, 26, 27 points a game, you know, 11, so 12 rebounds per game.
His age 23 through 27 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So a 5-year stretch. He was at 25 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists a night with 1.5 steals, 1.4 blocks, shooting 46.6% from the field, 34.8% from 3, and 74.8% from the line. Just an outstanding player.
Yes. Outstanding. And, you know, like someone in the chat says, DeMarcus Cousins never had good players around him. That's not correct at all. He did have players around him. Like, did he have a primo lineup that, you know, they could beat anyone in the world? No. But, like, Rudy Gay was a very good NBA basketball player. The Isaiah Thomas years were, like, you had potential there. He had Tyreek Evans. Like, there were players that came through Sacramento that should have helped him become better. Mm-hmm. Even, like, three-point shooters like Marcus Thornton and stuff like that. There were players that could have helped. I would always make the argument that, like, if I were building a franchise and it was just like you're looking at two players on a board, which one would you choose? The statistics, I would always probably choose DeMarcus Cousins. But the reality of team building and of trying to build a culture was nearly impossible with him, where I think Sabonis, as a teammate, as a fit, as a player who makes everyone better, is just an easier player to build around than Cousins.
God, Cousins went 27-11-5.
Oh, yeah.
In the 2016-17 season. Good Lord.
And that's part of two different teams, right? Yeah.
So
when he got traded to... he was averaging 27-8 when he got traded. But again, on a team that was barely...
Right.
When he got traded, they were barely in the playoff picture. And their final 25 or 30 games was like nearly impossible for them to make the playoffs.
The injury stuff with him is brutal.
Yeah.
That's because we never really got to see, he missed the entire 2019-2020 season because of an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt in his first season with New Orleans too, right?
Actually, he popped his Achilles in his first full season with
that's right. He only played 48 games.
Yeah. And then when he came back...
He was only 27 years old when that happened, man.
Yeah. When he came, he blew his ACL right in the summer leading up to the next season.
Yeah.
And, really, really tough. Like, all of it, yeah. You always fell for him.
I have zero recollection of DeMarcus Cousins playing for Houston, the Clippers, or Milwaukee.
I do not remember Houston all that much. I do remember Milwaukee and Denver at the end of his career. Milwaukee, the night he got waived, I think he scored 25 and he had 25 and 15 or 20 and 15.
Wow.
And then they did not pick pick him up for another 10-day contract or whatever. And then he finished with Michael Malone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like when
31 years old, man. His career is done.
I know.
God, that's so brutal.
At this point, he's not even 34. Like, the Kings just signed DeMar DeRozan to a 3-year deal, and he'll be 35 this season.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins will be 34 this year. He's been out of the league for a couple of years. And he's been very honest about, like, understanding that he knows he's not going to be back in the league, and that's why he went and played... He's been playing in Korea, I believe. And I think he won the MVP of their league. Really, really tough. Yeah, his final game, I'm sorry, for Milwaukee, 15-10 in 20 minutes.
Jeez.
5 of 8 from the field. And they waived him 19 games into the 2021-22 season. And that's when he picked up with Denver and played out the rest of the streak in Denver. Yeah, like his talent was always... Always incredible. Oh, he's in Taiwan. My bad. Thanks, John Poles. His talent has always been just off the hook.
25-13-5 with New Orleans.
Yeah.
Damn.
But again, short stints. Struggle to stay healthy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, and we'll get to Manny here in a second, but if you were to just put them in draft profile form, I think I'm probably leaning Boogie.
Yeah.
But I think my mind is clouded by a lot of the...
Well, I mean, it was really difficult to build a culture around him.
Right.
Like, it's part of his legacy as a player. It totally is. Like, yeah. I mean, I remember I had the privilege of covering him in the finals with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember that, in that playoffs, he tore his quad off the...
Chasing a loose ball, yeah.
Yeah, against Houston.
That's brutal.
And then he came back, and I remember being at the finals, and it was overwhelming for him. He had not been in that situation where there was that much media.
Yeah.
And all of these people throwing things at it. You could see him, like, because I spent 6.5 years covering him. I asked a question, and the second he heard my voice, I saw him snap and like look and like...
Like a familiar face.
Like, okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I know James. James is here. I know who that is. I can level myself out.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to watch, and just like, again, like, I had some really good times with him. Mm-hmm. Some really bad times with him, but some really good times as well.
Manny, you're on the Insiders. What's up, man?
So, the original post, right? And this one got irritated. I'd never get irritated. No, I always get irritated. But the original post came from, the question was, in just skill set, who would you take? And I even hate the question, just because anything you say always makes it look like you're slandering the other person, but that's not the point. But it's like, the dude literally argued that, I was like, look, man, rebounding to me was pretty even in their primes, like skill set wise. Mm-hmm. Assist, I'll give it to Domas. Shooting wise, though, I got to give it to Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to give it to Boogie. He could hit from anywhere on the floor. He was more athletic. And the dude's argument was like, no, Domas was a more efficient shooter. And it's like, and then they start bringing up the ad. It's like, you can't, and that's what all these arguments came from. Everyone that would side with Sabonis started including fit for a team, or his attitude, or he didn't make it to the playoffs. Like, that has nothing to do with skill set. A skill set is what you have athletically, at least, unless, James, tell me if I'm wrong, or what you think, or you too, Kyle, what you think the definition of a skill set is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you include, is IQ included in skill set? Would you say that's a skill set?
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah. So for me, I'm going to say,
appreciate you.
What my opinion is on that is that you can't ignore all the other stuff. Like, if someone can't help a culture...
Well, I think that the point of the original question was, like, just pure basketball. Strip everything else. It's just two guys on a court.
Yeah.
I think DeMarcus Cousins probably had a better skill set.
Yeah, yeah.
Just deeper offensive bag. Like Manny said, rebounding about the same. Domas probably a better passer. But Boogie was a fine distributor.
Well, I would even say Boogie was the first generation of the big man who would run the court and bounce, dribble the ball between his legs and make spin moves. I asked Chris Gent one time, who was an assistant under Michael Malone, but who had played with Hakeem, to compare the two, and he laughed. He said Hakeem could dribble twice at the most. He's like, DeMarcus is literally doing 360 spin moves, dribbling between his legs on the break. He's like, we've never seen anything like this kid.
That's so nuts.
And I was like, yeah, I totally agree.
I know.
He's like, just a perspective. Yeah.
I've got one more Boogie thing when we get back, and then we'll get to a good idea or bad idea as well. I was just going to blow through the break, but I'm not going to have time to
fix
the break. So we got to go. We got to be. We'll be back in a second. We'll continue this on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. You can just relay whatever you were reading, and then we'll just pick it up.
Yeah, like...
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Thanks, voice guy.
There it is. There's a lot of, like, conversation here, like, whether Cousins' legacy would be different if Michael Malone isn't fired and stuff like that. I don't think that's the case. I got to be honest, like... there's a possibility that Cousins would have, like, that they would have been able to get to the playoffs. And it, but that's, again, speculation. Like, they were so far away from the playoffs at that point. When he got sick, they were rolling. I think they were 9-5. He missed his 10 games, and I think they went 1-9 over the stretch. And next thing you know, they're 10-14. They even held him out for a couple of extra games because that was like that was truly intentional. Like what not to have DeMarcus Cousins catch viral meningitis, which he was never happy that got out there that it was viral meningitis. I'm not sure whose decision that was, like bust HIPAA to violate HIPAA rules there and actually give us what it was that he had. But there were years before that. Like, that was in 2013. He was drafted in 2010. Mm-hmm. Like, Cousins had been part of, like, plenty of other things before that. And I'd always go back, like, and again, this isn't to bash, like, but my final season covering him, when he was traded, people need to remember that there was, like, three situations with media members. There was a situation in New York City where he had got into a bar fight, which it wasn't his fault, but he was part of it.
Right.
There was also the situation where he yelled at a Warriors fan in the tunnel and got suspended for a game. And there's also the fact that, like, when he was traded in February, he had already collected 15 technicals. Like, and I kept saying, oh, it's the best that he was so much better that year. He started to grow, like... Mm-hmm. And he did more in that year than 99% of NBA players do in their entire careers in that one stretch of 55 games or whatever that, you know, 15 technicals. Again, the incidents with media members, and I wasn't one of those. Like, I didn't have an incident with DeMarcus where we got into it. I did have the God's plan night where I was asking him questions and he was talking about God's plan. That was the one night where I was like, oh, that's not, this isn't good.
Yeah,
like, he's in a dark place, and I don't know. That's the one time where I was like, he's standing in front of me, like, rocking back and forth, and I'm like, okay, this is not,
tough.
We need to not have media here. That what's happening right here is not normal, like, behavior. And I had known him, you know, for a long time before that and after that. That's the one night where I was like, oh, okay, this could get, like, really weird really fast and, like maybe a little awkward. Outside of that, you know, I don't know. I always liked him, and I always, but it has to be part of any conversation. Like, one guy walks in the door and literally snaps a 16-year playoff drought. Another guy had 6.5 years and could never get his team to the first round, and really not even that close to the first round.
Sure.
Like, there were a lot of 33-win teams there. The only time I ever covered, the most wins I covered in my first, like, 10 years on the job, Dave Yeager won 39, right? Before that, it was 33 under George Karl.
I have a fun question. Who was DeMarcus Cousins' best teammate, in your estimation?
Probably Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay.
Who was like a 20-point per game guy that, you know, and, you know, Isaiah Thomas. You have both those guys. And, you know, again, Tyreke Evans, like, perfectly fine NBA player. So, yeah. You just were never able to put it all together. But even in the final year, they gave it one last try to build a team around him. And that didn't work out at all. And then Rudy popped his Achilles, and they traded Omri Caspi, they waived Matt Barnes, like, that whole entire team just imploded.
Here's my last thing on this. And then we may or may not get to good idea, bad idea. I'm having a hard time believing that you could pick up 25-year-old DeMarcus Cousins, who went, no, I'm sorry, 26-year-old DeMarcus Cousins, who was 27-11-4.6, drop him onto this version of the Kings and they'd get worse. I can't get there. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it would just be such a disaster and the vibes would be terrible and they'd be a 40-win team and we'd be wondering what's wrong. But I have just a really hard time thinking, yeah, in that exact role, he's going to do all the same stuff, except he's going to stretch out and shoot a three.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be able to put the ball on the deck and spin and get to the rack and score with more often than Domas is willing to do.
I would say that the idea of DeMarcus will always be more functional than mm-hmm. the reality of DeMarcus.
Sure.
And the idea of Domantas Sabonis is what it is. Like, he is exactly what his numbers say. He's one of the most well-rounded, mm-hmm. like, dominant players in the league. And people outside of Sacramento, the Kevin O'Connors of the world, they can argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why he's been in the top 10 in MVP balloting the last 2 years. There's a reason mm-hmm. why he's an all-NBA player 2 years in mm-hmm. a row, while he's a three-time All-Star.
Yeah, but where does he rank in the Ringer rankings? And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, at the end of the day, you have to acknowledge what it is that Domantas Sabonis, and it can be, you can keep saying, well, the potential isn't there. It's like, yeah, but the functionality is.
Sure.
And if we
sure.
go back to, like, the Kings' idea of players, it's always about not what you can predict. It's about the actual production, and the actual production of Domantas Sabonis mm-hmm. is flat out, without any question, a straight up winner.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's just a winner. He's a dude who brings his hard hat to and his lunch pail every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, he's there fighting and being a good teammate and doing everything in his power to make his team a winner. And that's what separates him, in my opinion.
All right, let's real quick fit in good idea, bad idea here. Number one, LeBron James is the flag bearer for Team USA during the Olympics. Good idea, bad idea?
Absolutely spectacular idea.
I love it. Number two, the Cavs have given Evan Mobley a 5-year rookie max extension.
I love Evan Mobley, but man, that number is so big for a guy who has not proven that he can be that guy. And so I guess it's a good idea, but you are projecting a lot.
He fits perfectly in that box of player that you look at the 5-year max and you go, that's a lot. But if they had traded him, it would have been probably for less than his value.
Yeah.
And you're going, what are the Cavs doing? Like, that's just an impossible spot.
Kyle, for a guy who went 15 points as a rookie, 16-2 in his second year, and 15-7 in year three, his rebound numbers have barely climbed. His assist numbers have slowly climbed. His block numbers have declined. All of these things. His steal numbers are identical. Yeah, he's shooting the 3-point shot at 37.3%, but at 1.2 attempts per game.
Yeah, he's
like, mm-mm. You're waiting for the moment where he's the guy, and you might wait your entire career to see.
I'm afraid he might not have that dog in him.
Yeah.
I know that's an overused out, but that's the best thing. Go watch their playoff series against Orlando.
Yeah.
There were so many moments he looked like he wanted to be anywhere but that court.
Mm.
And that's tough. But, I mean, the skill set's incredible.
Oh, yeah. And you put him next to DeMarcus Cousins, and next to Domantas Sabonis? Domantas Sabonis? You put him next to Domantas Sabonis? Oh, man.
Yeah, right.
Especially if he can keep up that 37%. Man, see, that's a, mm-hmm. we keep talking about
and
that high
why,
end.
That's why you keep that guy around.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
A, there's a world where that really, really works. So yeah. I think it's probably a good idea by the Cavs. But I also don't think the Cavs are winning a title anytime in the next couple of seasons.
Yep.
Last one. We're going to get into some NFL in the next segment. So let's start that transition here. Jordan Love, the Packers quarterback, mm-hmm. is due for a contract extension. He is not going to participate in camp until he gets that new deal. Good idea or bad idea for Jordan Love, given his specific situation, to not be participating in camp?
For Jordan Love, it's a good idea, because you can take a bad step in camp and pop your Achilles and or take a bad blow out a knee. And yeah, but for the Packers, what a horrible idea, man. You
pay your guy.
Like, there's a lot of data here of, like, how much you pay him. Mm-hmm. Just give him the contract. Now, if he's asking for Patrick Mahomes money, I'm, you know, hey, bro, let's tone it back a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to win more than one playoff game. But
yeah, that's where this whole thing with Jordan Love gets difficult for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they had him sit out. Okay. He was awesome. Particularly in the second half of last year, was really good. Goes and blows out Dallas in a playoff game, goes to San Francisco, doesn't play very well, but had the ball with a chance to win at the end of the game. And now you have one season of him, and you have to decide, okay, Are we giving this guy a top of market deal? Are we paying him $60 million a year off the strength of one season? Because that's what he's going to want.
Because
he's the next quarterback to get paid. Or are you going to let him hold out for camp and then not be ready for the regular season?
Yeah.
That is a tough, tough spot for the Packers front office. And I'm fascinated to see how that goes. And I'll tell you why next, because we have some predictions from USA Today. Season is a disaster for the 49ers, in part because of these Packers. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, rocking with you on a Monday. James over there, Kyle right here. Jiffy Lube, the sponsor.
The road to 300,000.
Boy, that train in my brain just derailed real quick.
The road to 300,000 miles, where are we at, Kyle?
I think we've eclipsed 270 now. I haven't done a check lately, but I will. I will soon. I will do a mileage check. I've got a service coming up. It's crazy how fast my car now needs services. When I lived in Arizona and lived 2 miles from my job, and roughly 15 miles from anywhere I needed to go, I lived in Arizona for 2.5 years. I think I needed to get my car serviced like once. And now it's every few weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nate Davis at USA Today does his yearly predictions. 2024 NFL record predictions. He picks playoff seeds. He picks playoff matchups. Who wins those matchups. And it's always fascinating just kind of seeing what people think about how the NFL is going to shake out. Because I think the NFL, more than any other league, just has really, really good parity. it's really easy to just circle the 49ers and Chiefs and go, oh yeah, they're both the best teams and they're going to go back to the Super Bowl again. But it very rarely works like that. Nate Davis at USA Today has the 49ers as the number one seed in the NFC and going 13-4. Your Las Vegas Raiders, he has going 6-11, finishing third in the AFC West ahead of the Broncos at 4-13. With San Francisco, I think it is so interesting that all of the preseason prognostication about the 49ers, not the statistical analysis of their roster that says their roster is the best in football or whatever it is, just the general preseason vibe with the 49ers is that they're going to go something like 13-4 again,
mm-hmm,
and be the number one seed in the NFC. And maybe I'm pessimistic, maybe I'm missing something, but it's really hard to lose a Super Bowl and then just go 13-4 and be the number one seed again the next year. I just don't buy that. I can't get there.
I kind of feel like you're looking at a team that is so good that they can't, like, 11-6 is like the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like a projection would be like between 12-5 and 13-4, but it's a long season. We saw the lulls of this team last year where they dropped three in a row, right? Mm-hmm. And didn't look good doing it.
Nope.
And then they come back around. I still think that for this team to not be a top tier NFC, like highly competitive, like championship contending team, it would take a lot of injuries. I mean, it could be a couple of crucial injuries. Like we always talk about, like Trent Williams. What do you do if Trent Williams is not there, especially since they didn't address.
Brock Purdy, too.
Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Like there are players that could totally impact what you're doing. But at the end of the day, the depth of this team is really good. The way that their system for replacing players is solid. And so I'm not sure that I still believe that this team is, like, it would take a bunch of crucial injuries, and even still I think that they're a team that is going to win 10 games.
Yeah, that's kind of more where I land, is that 10 win range, because 10-7 is a decent year. That's gonna very likely get you in the playoffs. But man, I think the Rams are going to be better this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arizona is going to be better this year. I think Seattle's going to be tough, and then they have the Chiefs on their schedule. They have the Bills on their schedule. Like, this is not some cakewalk 18-week slate for a team coming off another deep playoff run.
Yeah.
Coming off the emotional toll that another season-ending disappointment takes. And then to make matters worse, Nate Davis, again, we're doing his predictions from USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
Has the 49ers going to the NFC title game and hosting the Green Bay Packers and losing to Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers at home in the NFC title game.
Mm.
He has the Jets beating the Packers in the Super Bowl, which feels like...
shtick?
Yeah.
It does.
That has big time... I want maximum clicks on this. I want people to aggregate. USA Today predicts Jets-Packers Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think the Jets are going to the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Jets are making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they have to actually do something. Like, how old is Aaron Rodgers? And he hasn't played in a year. And
40.
Yeah, and he hasn't played at all.
No.
And he's coming off a major, major injury.
Yeah. Jesse and I talked about this the other day. I don't know where it's Tom Brady's fault, first of all, that we just see a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a major injury and we go, oh, yeah, no, Super Bowl contender. And I get that part of it with the Jets is how good their defense is. Their defense was awesome last year. Robert Saleh had that unit cooking. Pause.
Yep.
And they had the worst quarterback play in the league. And so the bar for quarterback play with the Jets is way down here because of how good their defense is.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how good Breece Hall is. And because of how good Garrett Wilson is. Okay, that's awesome. Good for the Jets. I just, 12-5 winning the AFC East and going to the Super Bowl? We're just ready to pencil them in without seeing Aaron Rodgers do anything?
Yeah.
I can't, dude, this is not 28-year-old Aaron Rodgers, where you go, yeah, you still feel really good about it. He might not be effective at all.
Yeah.
Or their defense might regress a little. And you have the Dolphins, who are, I think, going to be really good again. You have the Bills, who I think are going to be good again.
You have Baltimore. You have Kansas City.
Cincinnati. Who has a last place schedule, by the way.
Oh.
Cincinnati gets to play a last place schedule.
Even Jacksonville started to crank it up, and, you know, and Houston got better. Like, it's tough, man.
I'm out on the AFC South.
Yeah, you don't like
just
any
in,
of them?
Just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the Jets, I'm not buying it. And maybe by the end of the season, I'm wrong. But the Chiefs are a team I'm comfortable saying, yeah, they could go to the Super Bowl. The Bengals, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me Jim Harbaugh turned around the Chargers, like, okay, I see the vision. I don't see it with New York.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. And the other thing I would point out is that, you know, the year before, Aaron Rodgers led the Green Bay Packers to an 8-9 record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who they are as a team and like who he is as a player still.
Mm-hmm.
And why you would just assume that after missing a year with a blown Achilles that he's just going to walk in the door and be some sort of messiah for a franchise that hasn't been able to get out of their way for decades.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, insane. Look, it's possible. Like, if he wouldn't got hurt last year, I would have put them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But we're a year removed. He's a year older, and he's got a catastrophic leg injury.
Yes.
So maybe it works out.
Tough spot.
Yeah. It is a tough spot. It is.
So in the AFC West, let's just run through each division here. You have the Chiefs winning the division at 13-4, Chargers 9-8, Raiders 6-11, Broncos 4-13. The Raiders go 6-11.
That's tough.
I think they're going to be.
I think they are too. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating the strength of their division or whatever, or maybe I'm overestimating Gardner Minshew, which is definitely a possibility because I love me some Minshew, but I just think they're going to be way better. Jimmy Garoppolo was a disaster last year, and Aiden O'Connell was not ready to be a starting quarterback.
No.
And I think you get Antonio Pierce, who got that team moving the right direction at the end of last year. I think their defensive line is going to be really good. You add Christian Wilkins to the middle with Max Crosby and Malcolm Kuntz. I think that's a really, mm-hmm. really good defensive line that's going to cause a lot of problems for opposing quarterbacks. I think they're more in the like 8 or 9 win range than the 5 or 6 win range.
No, I'm totally with you. I mean, they went 8-9 last year, and didn't they blow a bunch of late leads and stuff early? Like, I think that team can go 8-9. They can go 9-8. Like, that's where I would kind of put them. Like,
yeah.
Right around a 500 mm-hmm. team, yeah. Give or take. So, yeah, that's tough.
Michael Mayer, thank you, the tight end, and their first-round pick from this year's name is eluding me. The kid from Georgia, who was awesome.
Oh.
Probably should have gone in the top 5.
Yeah.
Help me. What's their tight end's name?
I'm missing it too.
Someone will get me here in the chatty house. But
yep.
I think that tight end duo is going to be really, really good.
Mm.
And I love that the Raiders went out and took a really talented tight end that was talked about all year as a top 5 guy, and then just during the draft process it just kind of fell, and he fell all the way to Vegas.
Brock Bowers,
thank you. Jesus. Awesome player.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of weapons there. I think Gardner Minshew is going to get the ball to Davante Adams more effectively than Jimmy Garoppolo or Aiden O'Connell did. That's just, there's an opportunity for the Raiders to be a problem.
Yeah, they went more functional and less sexy, which is usually a problem for them. They usually like to do things that look mm-hmm. like really shiny and cool.
Functional and not sexy is how I live my life.
Yeah, there it is. Well, I mean, I think that's if you're building a team,
mm-hmm.
it's probably the best way to do it. Like, you have a choice between a flashy wide receiver and a tight end who's probably going to be more impactful for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Go with the tight end.
Yep.
Like, how many times did they just draft off of 40 time?
A lot. One,
yeah.
And this year, they had drafted Mayer the year before. He's a good player. out of Notre Dame. Just a really, really solid player. So they didn't necessarily need a tight end. But like I said, Brock Bowers was awesome at Georgia the last 2 years, by the way. He was really, really good. So what do you do when you're trying to build a good football team? You get good football players.
Mm.
And it feels like that's what they're doing. Christian Wilkins, a little bit of an overpay for a defensive tackle, maybe, but really good football player.
You're one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
Get him in the building.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
The best. Yeah.
So I like what the Raiders did. Like I said, maybe I'm Gardner Minshew pilled, but I think they're more in the 8 to 9 win range than 5 or 6. AFC North. They've got the Bengals at 11-6, the Browns at 10-7, the Ravens at 10-7, the Steelers at 9-8. It feels like cheating with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because Mike Tomlin doesn't finish below 500, so you can pencil him in minimum 9-8.
I think that's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah. The Ravens going 10-7 would surprise me a little.
Yeah, they're better than that.
Yeah. Derrick Henry in that backfield is going to be nasty.
Yeah, they're a 12-win team.
I'm not going through the AFC South. It don't matter. The AFC East, we already went through. The NFC West, Niners at 13-4, Rams 10-7, Cardinals 7-10, Seahawks 5-12. Oof.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember, they had like the great purge of all of their specialty players outside of Herbert. Like that.
No, the Seahawks.
Oh, I thought you said
Seahawks.
The Chargers.
Yeah. I might have misspoke, but yeah, Cardinals 7-10, Seahawks 5-12. Yeah, the Chargers, they have it at 9-8 in the AFC West.
Oh, yeah. They'll be solid,
I think,
but still, that's tough.
I'm betting on Jim Harbaugh, dude.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to be better than 9-8.
It's tough, though, because, again, they lost a lot of talent on that
roster. I don't think it's going to matter. They bolstered their offensive line. Jim Harbaugh just figures out how to generate winning football programs, man.
Yeah. No, he does.
Like for
sure.
I think they're going to be better than that. NFC North, Packers at 13-4, Lions at 11-6, Bears 9-8, Vikings 5-12. The funny thing with the Vikings is all this talk about their receiver room. And it's like, Sam Darnold's going to be their starting quarterback, dude. I'm out on the Vikings. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't buy Sam Darnold got a year with the four. Like, no, he's just not very good. It's okay. It's all right. You go 5-12, get a nice draft pick, help out J.J. McCarthy next year. The Vikings will be cooking. I think they're fine.
Okay. Yeah, I would even say, like, there's a better chance that they switch quarterbacks in week four than that they stay with what they're doing.
Great point.
Yeah.
NFC South, we're skipping because they're like the AFC South and then the NFC East. He has the Eagles winning it at 10-7. This is Nate Davis from USA Today Sports. The Cowboys going 8-9, Commanders 7-10, Giants 4-13. An 8-9 season with the Cowboys might give Jerry Jones a conniption.
Yeah. I don't know how many more of those seasons he can handle or how many more seasons he can handle in general.
All right, we'll continue this discussion throughout the offseason. The 49ers report for training camp tomorrow. Veterans will report to training camp, and then they start training camp a couple of days later. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the man of the hour, the birthday boy, Kenny Caraway in the building. Let's go. Happy birthday, man.
Appreciate
68
it, man.
68 big
you.
Ones.
Yeah,
that's huge.
You know, I'm getting up there. I'm getting up there. Feels like it, man.
Yeah.
It feels like it. But, you know, aging like fine wine around here. You know what I'm saying? We aging like fine wine around here. Everything good, man. Everything good. I appreciate you guys.
You have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. It had nothing to do with my birthday. You know what's happened? When I was a youngin', you know, it was three birthdays in July. It was my Auntie Cindy, then me,
mm-hmm.
then my little cousin Brianna came,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. And then all these little cousins and godchildren and all this other stuff in the last 10 years then came along. We got, in my family, we've got 3, 4, 5, I think we got about 7 to 8 birthdays in July.
Dang.
Mm.
So now I'm just lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, no, well, and you've aged out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, all the kids got it now, man.
You know what sucks is 30 is, because once you get past 21, you get every 10 years. You get 21st birthday, party time, and then it's 30, 40, 50, and beyond,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Patton Oswalt has a great bit about this. But my 30th birthday was during the middle of a pandemic.
Mm. Oh, man.
August of 2020.
Well, you got to re-celebrate that, dog.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
My 30th, we did James's birthday extravaganza. Flew to New York, took a rental car to Cooperstown, came back, caught a Yankees game at Old Yankee Stadium.
Incredible.
He was living. He was doing his thing.
Spent a couple of days in Manhattan. Yeah.
I used to do.
Lou Gehrig probably played in that one.
Oh, come on. Man. Come on. That's a cold game.
Yeesh.
He said James, not Charlie. Okay. Shout out to my boy Charlie. But when I was younger, like the 20s, all the 20s, maybe a couple of 30s here and there, mm-hmm. I used to have an all-star weekend for my birthday. Oh. It was popping Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was popping. Now, it just kind of happens. I got kids now, and they want to spend my birthday with them, so it's what
Yeah, it's the move. Are you a birthday guy then? I've never been a birthday guy.
Like what you mean?
Like, I used to, so when I lived in Arizona, I didn't know people cared about this kind of stuff. Mm. Like when I was younger, you know, we did our birthday parties and stuff. My parents were always great about, you know, throwing some kind of little birthday shindig. Mm. But when I got older and out of the house, I was like, I don't care that much. Like, I'll just invite a couple of friends out for dinner. So I hid my birthday on Facebook because it's all the notifications and stuff.
It feels disingenuous.
It's overwhelming too. A lot of the times. I mean, I have fun with it. Like, it's my birthday or whatever, but, yeah, you know, it's a fun day. You know, mm-hmm. if somebody doesn't tell me happy birthday, I'm not like disrespectful. I'm disowning you. It's like it's whatever. Like, sure. It's cool. Like, I got love. I enjoy my mm-hmm. day. Everybody shows me love. My family and everybody, they always ask me, you know, what do you want for your birthday or whatever. And I was like, look, man, I got a goal. Trying to get to a stack every birthday. All right, so. Smart. Do what you got to do to get there. No, I don't know.
Love that.
I'd be like, I don't know what I want, man. Like, I don't want anything.
World peace.
I just want, you know, if I have something going on, cake and ice cream, show up.
Sure.
You know, let's have a good time.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate that way. But I don't ever want nothing, man. I ain't going to ask nobody for no presents or nothing like that on my birthday.
Yeah,
I have the weird thing. My wife and I have the same birthday.
Right.
And then our son, our oldest, he came a week earlier. Mm-hmm. So... were May 8th.
Yeah, three birthdays.
May 15th. Boom. Yeah. All of them, like, in one. And then our youngest is late August.
See, he's gets to enjoy everything by himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. My family got crazy Julys and Novembers. Novembers is like seven or eight.
August
people.
Is ours. I think August is our big month.
You know what happens is, like, we just end up recycling money, right? You know what I mean? Because I'd be like, oh, what you getting me for my, oh, here's $25. Oh, let me take this $25 and pay for Christian's birthday.
Somebody else's birthday.
Yeah, it just moves around. So.
My group of friends here in Sacramento, my wife and I's a close group of friends, there are six of us, and our birthdays are all between August 14th and like September 22nd.
Oh, it's lit.
It's crazy. So we just, it's every year, early September, it's just birthday shindig. But, no, what I was going to say was I used to keep my birthday hidden on Facebook because I didn't care and I didn't think anybody else cared that much. Mm. So I'm in Arizona, living in Arizona, and we happened to be out at the Cheesecake Factory on my birthday. Mm. It was on a weekend. We just happened to be out. That's what we did. We go eat, then we go out. And I order a drink and the waitress takes my ID and she goes, oh, happy birthday. Yo, I look out. The group of my friends is daggers at me. And they were mad because they wanted to celebrate for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I realized that was selfish of me to be like, I don't want anything on my... But like, no, my friends wanted to do that for me.
Right.
And they felt bad that they couldn't. So now I put my birthday back up there.
Well, thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. So I expect a full-blown fiesta August 15th. I'll see you guys here.
Yeah, that's right.
Those Leos are always doing something fishy. It's all about cancer season. You already know the vibes. Cancer season, stand up.
Sure, man.
You know, I don't know anybody else's, like, I don't know the traits and the characteristics. Like, I'm not that big into the astrology stuff, but have you ever read, like, the characteristics of for your case, the Leo?
Oh yeah.
Does it fit?
Oh, big time.
It's crazy, right?
I'm a Leo's Leo.
The
dude.
Cancer thing is like crazy. Like, I don't really trip off that. And then I read it one time and I was like, oh man.
Oh yeah. I didn't know there was a whole chart.
This is crazy.
Yeah. I'm a Taurus, but the wife is also so, and we're like polar opposites.
Isn't there like two types of every sign though?
Maybe.
Yeah, right. There's like it depends on what time you were born. You can go look this up. Mm. It like depends on what time you were born and what year, and it's like your rising and your moon and your set. It is nuts. It was like
that's complicated.
Pages that I was reading, but a lot of it fits, some of it doesn't.
Mm.
Like, you can make everything be, you can do, oh yeah, I did that once. But right. For the most part,
mine was like, spot on. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was blown away.
Yeah.
I said, this is crazy.
Hmm.
It's a little spooky, actually.
Like, I'm in radio. Of course, I'm a Leo.
That's right.
What are the Leos doing radio? What's going on? What's that?
Just being center of attention.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
I mean, you're a star. You're a star.
You see that first pitch?
I did. Oh, shout out to my boy's first pitch, man. That's what's up, man. Yeah, come on, big dog.
That's amazing.
I was really proud of it. I was really
went to the rubber too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I loved it.
I missed high outside, which is fine.
Didn't bounce it though. You didn't bounce. Remember, that's what we talked about. I was like,
yes.
He'll be able to go, you know, if it's high, he'll go get it. Yes. But if it's low, it looks bad.
That was all I cared about, was not bouncing.
That was awesome.
And you guys had a great concert in the park. Every piece of content I saw from that was incredible.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Next time you throw out a first pitch, let's not have a concert so I can be there.
Definitely.
That's the plan.
If I ever get asked again, I will come to you guys and ask when it is.
Yeah, we were getting mad at everybody. Kyle was the culprit the whole time.
I just giving dates and I picked one. No. What do you guys have coming up on real quick. USA Today published their preseason NFL predictions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Niners lose to the Packers in the NFC title game.
No. this Packers thing's got to stop, bro. Like, they're cool. They not like that. The Packers aren't better than the Lions. The Lions are the only team that I look at and I'm like, yo, they are nice.
Mm.
And I like the Rams, too.
Okay.
But this Packers stuff, like, we'll talk about it another day. That game was so smoke and mirrors. They're not that good. Not yet. Maybe in a year or two. They're not that good, though.
Okay. Jordan Love holding out. Not even in camp yet.
I saw
that. What do you guys got coming?
WNBA All-Star Game, Team USA, more basketball, and more Kenny.
There it is.
Always more Kenny. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I will be back tomorrow, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, tomorrow at 10, drink water, be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.